is Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law with attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. And we're here every Saturday morning. And if you have a legal question, all you have to do is to dial the toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. And the phone lines are open. Question can be just about anything. It can be about wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, health care surrogates, can be about living wills, can be about family law, personal injury, real estate, landlord-tenant, can be just about any area of law. If you have a legal question, all you have to do is to dial that number. Again, it's 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, host of Ask an Attorney for over 35 years. You're listening on multiple stations around Florida. So we're broadcasting today from Tampa. And Tampa is the home of 570, 910, 860, 930. All going in different directions all over Florida. We're also listening, broadcasting today on 90.3 FM out of Haines City, Florida. That's owned by Landmark Baptist Church, and that covers a big chunk of Central Florida. We're also broadcasting on WBOB in Jacksonville. We have offices, of course, in all of these locations in Jacksonville, and we also broadcasting on WTAN out of Clearwater, Florida, on your dial. Also, you can hear us on the community station 96.3 FM out of Sun City Center. Also broadcasting in Crystal River area and other stations. A lot of these stations also have FM components to them, or AM and FM components. And glad to be here today. So the law office is open. The sole purpose of the show was for me to be here and answer your legal questions. So if you have a legal question, your question is going to help other people also. So hopefully we'll give you an answer, get you pointed in the right direction. Other people are listening that have some similar type of circumstances. You might not be exact, but they're going to learn and maybe be able to implement something to make their life a little bit better and easier and less worry and so forth. So if you have a legal question, again, 877-943-9673, and phone lines are open. Let's go to our first caller, who is Glenn calling. Glenn, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Haines City, Florida.
Haines City. 3844. All right, very good. What can we do for you?
Yeah, I wanted to call and ask a question about final expense insurance. I want to make sure nobody has any bills or charges when my time comes that it's going to cost anybody in my family. And I don't mean to my direct family, but I mean my brothers and sisters. So any kind of money, they don't have to pay any debts, you know, for my issues, you know?
Right. So what's your question again?
My question is, on final expense insurance, does that cover everything?
Your final expenses and insurance?
No, my final expense insurance. They call it final expense.
Uh-huh.
So that'll cover my burial costs, okay?
You're dealing with a funeral home or sales?
Well, no, I don't even want a funeral home. I just want to be put in the ground, you know?
Yeah.
So that's another part of the question is, well, I want my wishes respected. Like, I don't want to have a funeral service or anything. Just once I go, it's time to just put me in a box and, you know, send me in the ground, you know?
Are you going to prepay for any of these services?
That's what I'm trying to figure out, how to do this and what I need to do.
Okay. Well,
I'm trying to plan for the future. I probably got another 15 years left, and I'm trying to be prepared for it. Okay?
Yeah. Well, definitely have a will or a trust, and you name a personal representative in the will or trustee in a trust, and you, when I'm doing this for clients, we'll give them a little sheet that has a sheet you can fill out for church and funeral instructions and so forth.
I don't know. That's why I'm asking the question.
Yeah, and the person that you nominate to be your personal representative or trustee of your trust would be the person in charge of implementing these directions that you leave behind.
I copy that, because that, you know, again, it's not a priority number one, but yeah, it's being in the planning stages. Yeah?
Yes, sir. Well, good. I would have an attorney work with your estate plan. We give people little organizers where they can leave instructions on church and funeral instructions and things like that. And okay. You can visit a funeral home and so forth and make some prepaid arrangements if you want.
Which I plan on doing, so yeah. I could have all my wishes respected, you know?
Yes, sir. That would be a good thing to do.
Now, this is going to sound like a real strange question, okay? But I worked in a hospital for over 10 years as an engineer, as a building systems engineer.
Yes, sir.
I got to see some pretty horrid, miserable stuff. I don't want to lay in a bed like a vegetable.
Yeah.
So once I know it's my time to come, I either want to jump out of a plane with the parachute on, but not pull the cord, like over the ocean.
Yes, sir.
Is that illegal?
Well,
when I go out, I just want to go out. You know, I don't want to.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Just sit there, you know.
All right, Glenn. The way you deal with that is you sign a living will document that says when two doctors determine your terminal vegetative unconscious end stage with no chance of recovery, you won't be artificially hooked up and maintained. So that's just part of the estate planning documents you would do with the attorney.
All right. So I could deal with an attorney on this and get everything planned and set up in the future, correct?
Yes, sir. And if you
fantastic.
Don't, if you don't have an attorney, we do have an office in Davenport.
Oh, that's fantastic.
All right.
Do me a favor. I have my pen and paper here. Which office do you have in Davenport? I don't have an attorney.
Okay.
I like what you got to say on the radio all the time. So can you just give me a name and an address or a phone number and an address?
Okay, well, our Polk County phone number is 863-422-1370.
422-1370,
and go to extension 200.
Extension 200?
Yep, that young lady runs my calendar.
I copy that. All right, fantastic. You know what? I'll be calling in a few days. I gotta make the arrangements proper, you know?
All right, Glenn, thanks for calling.
Thank you, sir. Have a blessed day.
You too. You're listening to Ask an Attorney, All About Florida Law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. You can call our show toll-free, and please do if you have a question. Love to help you at 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Let's go to Thomas. Thomas, where are you calling from?
Good morning, Joe. I'm in Sarasota.
Sarasota. All right. What can we do for you?
I had a little tumble in public. Last December 21st, I didn't think anything of it. At first, my wife, bless her heart, took me to the emergency room at Sarasota Memorial where I had a brain bleed. I was in intensive care for some time. Went back to Publix and said, you know, I think that you folks might benefit by giving me some sort of help here. And they said, no, we have no liability. You stumbled. There was nothing on the floor that would trip you. And I said, well, I did stumble, but I hit your roof support, one of those, you know, good I-beams that hold up the roof.
Did they make a report of the incident at the time it happened?
Yes, they made a report of the incident, and they have it on tape. And my report of the incident, I don't know whether I was groggy or not, but what I said was, I don't think this is their fault, but I think I stumbled. And so in thinking back about it, I have been required to go from full-time to part-time work. My short-term memory is still not back, although it was cleared by a psychiatrist or psychologist.
Okay.
So,
let me ask you this: What do you think caused the accident?
I stumbled. My foot caught on the floor, and I stumbled forward. I had rubber shoes on, my foot caught on the floor, okay. And I hit my shoulder against it.
All right. Was there anything unusual about the floor at the time?
No.
Just a flat floor, no banana peel, nothing, cabinet or
no.
Display leg was in the wrong place or nothing like that?
No, sir.
All right. Nothing. Well, if you stumble on your own with nothing contributing from Publix or anything Publix did, they probably don't have any liability. However, if you want to call my office, I will put you in touch with a personal injury attorney that looks at these types of cases to determine liability. But, I haven't heard anything would make them liable. But if you want to talk to a personal injury attorney, he's not with my firm, but I have several of them that I refer cases to, and I'd be glad to give you a phone number to talk to some of the practices in that area all the time.
Thank you very much. I'll do it.
All right. Thank you. Right. All right, so let's give out the phone number for you to call the show. Phone line's open right now. If you have any legal question, all you have to do is to dial the toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's for the show. If you want my office number, our toll-free office number, we have multiple locations around Florida. If you're listening to a local station in your community, probably have an office in that area. Our toll-free office number is 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. And I'll be more than glad to try to help you in any way I possibly can. Let's go to George in Clearwater. Hey, George, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, what can we do for you, sir?
My mother is up in her 90s, and she is very concerned about her estate being handled properly. So we set up an irrevocable trust for her to move her assets into. But she got different messages as to whether she should move her annuities into her living trust. So irrevocable trust. And I guess the question is twofold. Number one, if the annuities have living, beneficiaries that are, active in her life, do they need to be in the trust? And secondly, if she did have the trust as the beneficiary of the annuity, would it have to be liquidated and taxes paid on it immediately upon her death? So those are the two questions.
All right, so first of all, if you have an annuity, you have named beneficiaries on the annuity, so it doesn't really have to come into the trust for it to avoid probate.
Okay.
Often it's better when you have an annuity to name the beneficiaries directly.
She has that, yes.
Yeah, and not have it come into the trust, because the trust might, in certain circumstances, on certain annuities, there might be adverse tax circumstances in it coming into a trust. And the same thing goes for retirement accounts that don't usually go into a trust, and unless there's proper language in the trust, that could also cause adverse tax consequences. So annuities and insurance and retirement accounts are usually better going directly to the beneficiary and not to the trust. Now let me ask you a question though. Why did she create an irrevocable trust as opposed to a revocable trust?
Because she was felt like if she had to go into an extended stay in a nursing home, mm-hmm. or for some reason became incapable of managing things, that she had confidence in her family to exercise her wishes and mm-hmm. to manage her account. And that way it would bypass or not be subject to any bill that she might run up while she was in the nursing care center if she had to go to extended care.
And how long ago did she create this irrevocable trust?
About 2 years ago. She had a regular trust. She had a trust, and then she converted it to an irrevocable trust.
Okay. So now everyone's aware there's a 5-year look-back period of possible disqualification when you create an irrevocable trust for that purpose.
Well, I'm not... The only asset she had was a couple pieces of property, and those were put into what was called Lady Bird deed. This is in North Carolina, which then makes them not subject to the look-back period, according to her attorney.
Does she live in North Carolina?
North Carolina. Yes, she lives in North Carolina.
All right, well, I'm only licensed in Florida, so I can't really address that. But
right, I just wanted to get the general answer on the annuities, though, as far as whether they should be in the...
Well, but see, the annuities are still owned by her. Did the attorney tell you that they were exempt also from the Medicaid calculation as an asset?
Yes, he did.
Okay, yeah. That insurance-type products in Florida are not exempt from the... as an owner, no. So you can have accounts in Florida, but those would be countable assets in Florida.
They would be. Annuities would be accountable assets?
Yes, sir. There used to be a Medicaid type of it. Now, it might be different in North Carolina. There used to be a Medicaid type of annuity that could be created that wasn't countable. And although some assets, like insurance annuities, are not... They're credit proof as far as lawsuits, but they it turns on whether they're accountable or non-countable toward the Medicaid process, which is like two different things going on.
Yeah, the estate in the will, the attorney that she used in North Carolina said that those would be exempt, that the annuities would be exempt from any liens from. Medicare, Medicaid, if she was in extended care period.
George, here's my best advice for you.
Okay.
Get the attorney to ask these questions in writing to your attorney and ask that he respond in writing so you have a copy of it for your file on anything you're concerned about in North Carolina. Then, you know, because I'm just going to make the issue worse by answering it, giving you a Florida answer
right.
to a North Carolina question. All right?
Certainly. All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Let's go to Rosanna. Hello, Rosanna.
I have a quick question.
Now, where are you calling from?
I'm sorry, I'm calling from Haines City.
Haines City, all right.
Okay. And my dad is a widower, and he has a will. If he remarries and he has a prenuptial, what happens if the widower dies first, if my dad would die first? Does his wife still get 30% of the estate even though she has a prenup?
Well, the purpose of a prenup is for the wife to and the husband to waive rights to each other's estate.
Right.
So without looking at the prenup, I'm going to assume that it's a standard prenup where all those rights were waived, including the homestead. So the answer would be, if the proper language is in the premarital, she would have waived her right to her 30% and the homestead.
Okay.
Now, a prenup can give and take. I mean, so the prenup is a contract where he could have given her the right to live in the house, or he could have given her certain things. So it really... To answer your question properly, the prenup would have to be reviewed. But if it's a standard prenup where I'm giving up all my rights and you're giving up all your rights and we can do whatever we want to with our estates, if all that language is proper in the prenup, then the rights would have been waived and each individual could leave everything to their own children.
All right. Well, that sounds great, and that's a great answer. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Hey, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, host of the show for 35 years now, continually run same format, same show, same host. I think it's the longest running show in Florida, and I'm glad to be here. I look forward to getting up every Saturday morning and coming to the radio station and just helping as many people as I possibly can. And, you know, I could be playing golf or fishing or something else. I enjoy doing this. This is what I look forward to every week. So if I can help you, please give us a call, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Looking forward to your call. Let's go to Dwayne. And Dwayne, where are you calling from?
Fernandina Beach.
All right. How's it? It's a little cooler up there.
Appreciate your show, and I'm glad you're not fishing or golfing.
Well, thank you very much. What can I do for you?
I have a trust that was set up in 2012, And it's been modified a couple of times since then. But I've continued to purchase real estate, and I've added each piece of real estate to the trust.
Mm-hmm.
But I see that some deeds make the grantee the trust, with me as the trustee, while other deeds make me the grantee with the as trustee of the trust. So my question is whether the order makes a difference, my name, trustee of the trust, or the trust, my name as trustee.
All right, so let me answer it by answering it this way, and then we can still talk about it if it's not clear. If I were creating a trust for you, and you own property just in your name, I would then do a quitclaim deed from you, the grantor, to the trust. And the trust would be the grantee.
Right.
If you're going to buy the property directly into the trust, then the seller, you know, XYZ seller, would be deeding it to you, to your trust, and maybe even include your name as trustee in the in that language.
So are you saying, does it make a difference whether it says my name, trustee of the trust, or the trust, and my name is trustee?
Yeah, no, it doesn't make any difference how that's said.
Okay, so as long as it mentions the trust there, whether it's first or
but the grantor,
second.
The grantor is always the giver, and the grantee
right.
is the receiver.
Right.
So you sometimes you are the giver and the receiver, though, because it's from Dwayne
to
Dwayne as trustee, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well then another matter. When some deeds record the name of the trust, they also record the dates of the amendments. Most of them don't, but some others do. And the question is whether these dates that some title companies put on the deeds, citing a specific amended trust, in any way limit the effectiveness of the trust in its present form. If I make a change to the trust next week, will it affect the deeds of properties that cited some previous amendment?
No, the name and date of the trust are the date the first trust was first created. So the amendments never change the date of the trust. If somebody wants to put all the amendments on the deed, they can do that. I don't think that would have any bad effects. The only danger of that is if, you know, it's not complete unless they include all the amendments. And then the question is, well, every time you do that in the future on that property, do you, every time you do an amendment, should it redo the deed to include that amendment? So most people, I would say, most attorneys would just have the original name and date of the trust. So if your trust is dated 2012, that would always be the date, you know, the trust.
So
on all future titles, no matter how many times you amended the trust.
All right, so the current, if I change something on it next week, this would be what prevailed and not something that was named from 2013 or 14 or something.
Yeah, the trust would carry the 2012 date. You know, some people just say and as amended, but the name and date of the trust are always the same from the very start, no matter how many times you amend it in the future.
All right. Okay, well, thank you very much for answering my question.
All right, thank you for calling. All right, let's go to Patricia in Bradenton.
Hello.
How are you this morning?
Okay, my call has to do with the first call you got this morning about funerals and burials. My husband and I are in our 80s. We're still living in a single-family home together. The problem is our son is in one state up north, and our daughter is in a different state up in New York. And we don't have any relatives down here.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem is, if he passes first, I'm not going to stay here by myself, so I'm either going to go with my son or my daughter, and the same thing will happen to him. It's hard to pre-plan when you don't know where you're going to be when you die. I mean, if I make plans down here for pre-burial and he dies and then I move up to New York, everything's going to be messed up. You know what I mean? How can I plan where I'm going to be buried?
Well, that's a good question. And I think you just have to... How long have you lived in Florida?
Oh, 25 years. 20 years, anyway.
Mm-hmm. And is there a family funeral plots in some other state where they're...
No. And I'm the kind of person who wants to have everything planned out.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm stopped because I don't know where I'm going to be. If he dies first, I'm going to move out of state and go where my daughter or my son is.
Now, what's your age?
I'm 86.
And how old is your
husband? He's like 89. Yeah, he's 89.
Well,
so it's time that we did this.
Well, I don't know what to tell you, because you have to decide. There's nothing I can say. You know, I don't know who's going to die first. You don't know who's going to die first. I can tell you that if a husband and wife are the same age, all the stats say the man's going to die 6 or 7 years before the wife. So if you wanted to play the odds, so to speak, on your planning, I think you would buy your funeral plots up where your daughter is. And that wouldn't be bad anyway, because if she wants to visit, you know, the cemetery and so forth, she'd have it right there in her community.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the family would want to buy all plots together. Maybe your daughter and son would want to buy plots and have it all kind of arranged so everybody knows where they're going, which is all the same cemetery.
Uh-huh. So that means then, since we're living down here, we'd probably be dying down here. So what would have to be, we'd have to be transported up to New York then.
Yeah, I tell you, the funeral homes do that every day.
Uh-huh.
You know, you make your arrangements somewhere else, all that's known, your family coordinates everything, and it's not a big deal.
Well, they do on a plane or a train?
Yes, ma'am.
Or something?
Uh-huh. Yeah. They make special arrangements for that kind of thing.
Okay, so your suggestion then is to just go ahead and get the plots up in New York.
Yeah, and maybe the whole family will, you know, want to all plan it together at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just
all
saying
right,
the odds
well.
Are that he's going to pass away first,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to move to New York, so I would just go with that plan. Even though that might not be what happened, that's still not a bad plan.
Okay, well,
right.
Thank you so much
all
for
right.
your suggestion.
Thank you.
Bye.
Phone lines are open. You have a toll-free number if you want to call the show, and you have about 23 minutes left in the show, and you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673, 877-943-9673. And let's go to John in Clearwater. Hey, John.
Did you say, yeah, I'm here.
Yes, sir.
I have a question about a mobile home park. I'm looking at some that says you get a deed, and the others you get a share. And I'm worried about if I go in a park, it says you get a share. What is, I just don't want nothing bought out from underneath me or forced to sell.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering what's the difference between you own a share in the park and, well, I guess the deed one, you own that land that you're set on. It may be harder for anyone to move you out if some big condo association wants to buy it out or something. And I'm just wondering the difference as far as security as a resident shared owner.
Well, I think it's probably safer to have a deed.
Mm-hmm.
Just like your thought was, it's safer to have a deed. And even though you own a share of the park, nobody can take that share away from you. So it's just it's an ownership share.
Yeah, and I was wondering, you know, well, if so many share, 51% of the share owners say, well, we outrule you, so you're forced to sell your share versus like a deed. They can't, it's my deed. Can they make something up in the park, even if you own a deed? Say, well, you know, if most of the deed owners want to sell, you have to go along with it. Can stuff
well, even
be
if
made
you
up
have
like
a
that?
Deed, there are a lot of common areas that are controlled by the board or somebody other than you. You know, there's a community common shared
right.
clubhouse as part of the common areas.
Yeah.
There are other common areas, and you own, you know, a small deed for your mobile home in a situation like that. So you're still not in total control. And you're really not in total control even when you live in a standard home, not a mobile home, in a community.
Yeah.
Like we live in Largo, we live in a community called Bardmore. And there's a big thing going on now about them taking away the golf course and, you know, making a business development out of that. And a lot of homes are on the golf course. So sometimes you just never know.
Yeah. Well, mainly I'm just saying I don't want to be moved off this spot if I don't want to go. And you can't force me because I own a deed or I'm a shareholder. So I guess I can say that about either or and kind of fight it out.
I think I would feel slightly safer having a deed. If I'm talking about what I would do if I were in your shoes, I would probably want to go to a community where I had a deed.
Yep. You know, that's what I was figuring. Common sense. Very good, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Let's go to Jeff in Plant City.
Hi. So my mother died in 2017. She left the house to myself and my four brothers as tenants in common. So I guess we each own 20%. I moved out here with my wife from California. And unfortunately, you know, things didn't turn out well, and she went back to California. So now, and we bought out a couple of my brothers before she went back. Well, one of my brothers, well, actually two, one of the tenants in common quit claim deeds is in her name, and the other one is in mine. As part of the divorce settlement, she wants to give me her 20%. So I'll own 60% if I understand how that works. And then I have my brother and my niece who inherited from one of my brothers that passed away. They own the other two 20% shares. And I'm the only one living here. I'm the only one paying the bills. It's a 5-bedroom house on an acre lot. It's very hard for me to make ends meet. And I want to know if there's some way I can, because there was no will, is there some way I can make myself the administrator of the estate so that I can sell the house and give them each their 20% without them, because my older brother does not want to cooperate. He's really, you know, I don't even want to go into that.
All right, so let me. Yep.
Okay.
No, the question is, I guess, to answer your question, so I was understanding what you were saying, that you were already an owner as tenant in common. So is that not true?
Right. Yes.
That is true.
Yes.
Okay. So, at that point, it's not in the estate, so being personal representative of the estate wouldn't help you. And the thing you can do as a partial owner of a real estate is hire an attorney to do what's called a partition sale. So you can force the sale even if you were just a 20% owner, but you're a 60% owner. So you can force the sale if the others two don't want to go along with you. You can force the sale. And they would be served papers, and then you'd have the right to sell the house at the end of the day, and then they would still get their, you would get your 60% share, and they would get their 20% share, but it would be in cash, and then you'd be lifted of the burden of having the house.
Yeah, and I mean, I want to buy smaller, you know, but, and that has nothing to do with it. You answered my question perfectly.
All right, very good.
So it's called a partition sale?
Yeah, a partition sale, yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. My pleasure. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. You're listening to a live call-in show this October the 12th, 2019. If you'd like to call the show, we have about 15 minutes left. You have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open, so give us a call. You have a little bit of time left. Let's go to Benjamin in Tampa. Hey, Benjamin.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. So I have a, my wife left the home that we bought together 3.5 years ago. We started a business together, but she does not want to be married to me. She took the 13-year-old daughter. We had two daughters, 17 and 13. She wrote me a she sent me a text message that she wanted to no longer be owner of the house. She didn't want the business. She just wanted out. I suspect she met somebody else, but that's besides the point.
All right, let me ask you this. Why don't you text back and if she'd be willing to sign the deed over of the house to you?
We're still paying on it. We have a mortgage. She's told me to get the mortgage. She's told me to get the get her out of the out of the mortgage.
Okay, so she's willing to give you the deed, deeding the whole property over to you if you get it refinanced and get the mortgage just in your name. Is that what you're saying?
Right, yes.
Okay. So have you made any efforts to try to get the mortgage just in your name?
No, because she can be very spiteful. So if I get the mortgage just in my name, the home loan in my name, and she gets one of them lawyers that is out for blood, could they make me sell the house and split it and then pay her off? And when she's already told me that she's got no desire for the home or the business.
All right, here's what you do, Benjamin. You go to a mortgage, whoever you're going to get the new mortgage from, you go get approved for the mortgage. And then you give her proof that you have been approved for this mortgage. You don't sign mortgage papers yet. You don't commit yourself. And you're okay. Saying we need to have a meeting to where I sign the mortgage, and at the same time you quit claim deed me your interest in the property. So you do it so where you make yourself obligated on the mortgage on the same meeting where she signs over the deed to the property to you. You don't do one or the other first and then hope the other one's going to comply. You just do it all at the same time. Make sense?
Okay. And what about the business? Because I'm running the whole business by myself.
All right,
with no help from her.
All right, is it a corporation?
Yes, it's an S-Corp.
S-Corp. And is there any liability associated with that?
Not really. Right. It's a transportation company, so I have commercial insurance to transport people.
Okay, well, what does she want now to transfer the house? She wants the mortgage to be just in your name. So,
right.
I told you how to do that. So what does she want for her to transfer the business to you? What is her requirement there?
She just wants her name out of the business as well.
Okay.
She doesn't want to be liable for the business.
All right, then. Tell her that if she will give you, does she have a share? Does she have a stock share?
No.
Well,
I'm the president and CEO of my company.
Well, have her come in and give her $100 to sign a statement that she transfer her ownership of the business to you in consideration of $100, and she signs a little contracts, more or less.
Okay, and that can be done. You have a couple of offices, I think.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we have. We have an office. And are you close to Sun City Center?
Yes, as a matter of fact, that's where I operate my business. Well, my clients, but I'm in Ruskin, but I operate out of all my clients, Sun City.
Yeah, well, you can meet me inside. I go to the Sun City Center office once a week, so you can meet me there.
Okay.
All right, then we could prepare something for her to sign, transfer in the business, and maybe write her a letter telling her that you're willing to refinance the home just in your name. And we plan on we'll just write her a little letter telling her what's going on.
Okay. Great.
All right, Benjamin, thanks for calling.
One more question. Divorce, how long does that take here in Florida?
Well, we do have a family law attorney. Her name is Catherine. You could talk to her. But it was going to take, if everything went really smoothly and y'all both would be willing to sign some papers, it could go maybe 2 or 3 months.
Oh, that's great.
Could be fairly quick.
Great.
All right.
I thought it was going to be more like a year dragged out.
Well, it could be dragged out. It just depends on how long.
I don't think she or I want to drag it. I want it done yesterday. So I think she's the same way.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you for all your answers.
You're welcome. Thank you. All right. Let's go to Bill in Bradenton. Hey, Bill.
Good morning, Joe. You talked about this before, but concerning a vehicle, let's say when I die, does my successor, the trustee, take my death certificate and say the receipt from the county clerk, filing the will, to the motor vehicle department with the current title and just say, hey, here it is, change the title to the successor trustee's name? How does that work?
Who do you want to leave the car to?
My successor trustee.
And are they related to you?
Yes.
Okay. Is it a spouse or a child?
Sister.
Sister, okay. Are you leaving everything to your sister?
No.
Okay, how many different beneficiaries do you have?
Oh, probably a dozen.
Okay.
And that's all called out in the trust.
All right. So you're... personal representative would usually take a copy of the will and the death certificate to the DMV.
Okay.
And they usually can transfer the car without a probate. In your case, though, they might need something, a power of attorney. You can get a DMV power of attorney form, basically dealing with just the car, that would give, and all 12 beneficiaries may have to sign that before she can do anything. That's the way you avoid probate. There is a little bit of a hassle with that because you have so many beneficiaries.
Okay.
If you want the sister to own the car, you could put that in the will.
Okay.
And then the DMV would probably just transfer it to her if she went to the DMV with the will and the death certificate. They'd probably then transfer it to her.
So as long as it's called out in the will, that's it.
Yeah, if you want the car to go to someone, you definitely put that language in the will. Yes, sir.
Okay, good. Thank you. Second question is, when I'm selling a car, let's say I sell a car to a buyer, and we transfer the money, that sort of thing, mm-hmm. and then I'm supposed to take the plate off of that, my license plate off of the car, and then how do they go? They have to, leave the car parked and go to the DMV, get the new plate or temporary tag, and bring it back. How does that work?
Yeah, you should take the plate off the car because it's not their plate. And then they would go to DMV and get a temp tag, most likely, and put that on the car until the regular tag shows up.
Okay, good enough. Okay, well, thanks for your help. Really listen to your show as much as I can.
So, all right. Thank you. All right. So let's go to, we have, let me give out the phone number to call the show one more time because we're almost to the end of the show, but we do have time for one or two more callers if you want to call in. Your toll-free number to call the show is 877-943-9673. 877 843-943-9673. And let's go to Lynn calling in Sarasota.
That's me.
Hey, Lynn.
Hello. Hi, Joe. I have a question. I have three children, and I have grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And we had a will made up many years ago. We moved from New Jersey to Sarasota 15 years ago. And I don't have a will in Florida. Is that... Do I need a will in Florida?
Okay, you have a will from what state?
New Jersey.
Well, the answer to that question is your will may be valid in Florida, but it needs to be reviewed to make sure it's witnessed and notarized properly to be accepted in Florida without too much hassle. So let me ask you this. You have a will. Do you want your estate to go through probate?
Well... This is the thing. My husband and I went to the Friendship Center, and we spoke to a lawyer there, and we thought we would do it so that it wouldn't have to, but they wanted so much money to be able to do that, and we couldn't afford it, so we didn't do anything about that. My children all live in different states.
Mm-hmm.
I have one in New Jersey, one in California, and one in Switzerland. So,
well, how much money did the attorney want?
I think she wanted something like $800, something like that. And that was a lot of money, and we just couldn't afford it.
Yeah. Well, see, the probate of your estate is going to be when you die.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to probably be 3% of the value of any probate estate. And it's going to take a year of your children's time to go through the probate process with an attorney. 6 months to a year.
We went through that. My mother lived in Florida. She had a will in Florida, and we went through probate, and we had to get a lawyer in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And it cost us at that time, well, this was in 1986, about a little over $1,000, about $1,100 at that time.
Well, there probably wasn't too much in the estate then.
No, there wasn't.
Yeah. So, if you take 3% of the value of your assets, and mm-hmm. this would be if they would all have to go through probate, that would be a fee. So, if you've got a $250,000 probate estate, it'd be $7,500 plus court mm-hmm. costs, which is $500 or $600.
Mm-hmm. Is there another way?
Well, you can do maybe a Lady Bird deed with your house, or you could do, I prefer the living trust route.
Okay. Living trust, okay.
But, you know, here's the deal. We don't charge anything to review your New Jersey will. So mm-hmm. if you want to come in and talk about your options, and I can look at the will, no charge, tell you if it's would work okay in Florida, and you could go from there.
Where are you located?
You're in Sarasota. We have a one of my attorneys goes to Lakewood Ranch, so we're not that far away from you.
Sure.
All right?
Okay. Yep.
All right, Lynn, thanks for calling.
Find out from...
Yeah, I'm going to close the show here by giving out all my contact information here.
Okay.
All right,
thank
so
you
just
so
listen
much.
Up. All right, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, if you'd like to call our office, we also have a poster sheet, estate planning poster sheet. It's a large sheet with lots of articles about estate planning on one side, all of our contact information on the other. I'd love to mail it to you. It's absolutely free. You could download it from our website, attypip.com. But it's a very large sheet, double-sided. It'd be a lot easier just to call and ask for it, which we'd love to send it to you. And you can do that by 1-800-226-3529. That's the office number, 1-800-226-3529. If you want to email me your name and address, I'd love to mail it to you at Joe, J-O-E, at A-T-T-Y-P-I-P dot com. Joe at A-T-T-Y-P-I-P dot com. You can text me your name and address at 727-667-3967. Hey, thanks for listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'll be back next week the same time. So long.